That, of course, is Minnesota's own Martin Zeller. And the Grand Rapids Thunderhawk boys high school hockey team won the state title. First time since 1980, they were coached by Trent Klatt, who's joining us now in the studio. Trent, thanks so much for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome.
So how are you holding up?
I'm enjoying the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Plural.
Now, you played professional hockey. And you obviously had some tremendous highs and maybe even some tremendous lows in professional hockey. How does this stand up to win the state championship as a coach?
I can tell you right now that this is better than anything I experienced as a professional athlete.
Why is that?
High school hockey, high school sports is about as pure as it gets. You don't have all the other stuff that's involved with it. To be at the Xcel Energy Center, I'd come through that tunnel many times in various arenas throughout the country and seen 18, 19,000 people. So that wasn't new to me. But to come through that tunnel, look up to the right and see 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,000 people decked out in orange, knowing that this whole town was down there watching us, it was surreal.
Well, and how much it matters, not to just those hockey players and their family and their friends, but the band kids are there, and everybody's invested in it. It was thrilling. It is thrilling. What a great state to live in
terms of sports. Yeah, it's unbelievable, and our band is just phenomenal. Gundy does a great job with that band, and they're so supportive, and of course, my kids are in the band, so I know a lot of the kids in there too. And it's just a neat atmosphere, and it's community based, and it's just something special.
Yeah, it lifts the spirits of the town. Everybody just joins in. So you went to Osseo, right?
Yep.
Did you play in the state high school hockey tournament?
Nope. I was unfortunate in that arena that I never made it.
Yeah. And you were Mr. Hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And where'd you go on? Did you go on and play college hockey?
Yeah, I played 3 years at the University of Minnesota.
Yep.
And then
tell us where else you went.
Well, and then after my junior year, I left school and signed my pro contract. So I played at the North Stars the last year they were here in town. And then the team, of course, went to Dallas. So I was there for 2.5 years. I spent 3 years in Philly, 5 years in Vancouver. And the last year I played was in Los Angeles.
Well, the thing that impresses me most about you is I saw, well, first of all, it looks like the kids totally respect you. And I think that's important. And there's always, as a coach, as I know, there's always highs and lows. There's always things that go on. But I would think that the gratification goes for you specifically going out on that ice is being a coach and know that you, and along with your assistant coaches, molded this team together and you came to it and got a big prize for it. I think that's just amazing.
Yeah, and of course, everyone looks at it and they, you're state champs and everything was great. And as you know, as a coach, that's not always that way.
Right,
No matter... Well, Lakeville North won the state tournament, I think, 3 years ago. They were 31-0. But even being 31-0, I can't believe they didn't have a couple hiccups throughout the course of the year. So it's impossible to spend that much time together and have 36 or 37 kids, all brothers, not have a few arguments or a few down moments.
Oh, yeah.
So, you got to wiggle your way through that and do the best you can. And, the guys really did respond and they really came together at the right time of the year.
Yeah, and it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I read some comments by you. You said you guys have never played better the last couple games.
I had players, honest to Pete, that were doing things last weekend that we had been trying to get players to do all year. And, you've heard people say the proverbial light bulb went off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happened.
Tell us what those things might have been from a coach's perspective that you've been trying to do that they haven't done.
A lot of times defensemen, whether in transition, even on breakout, they have the concept where it has to be a tape-to-tape pass.
Uh-huh.
I have the puck. I need to move it. That guy's open, and it's got to be on a stick. It doesn't always have to be on the guy's stick. You can put it to an area that player can skate into to pick it up. So as one example, I had defensemen that were making area passes off the boards to areas where other players could skate into, and pick it up. And I'm going, oh my gosh, this is awesome. So just, little tidbits like that just kept happening. And I'm just so excited. I had to go down the bench and commend them because it was like, this is great.
Let's talk a little bit about Micah Miller. I think the kid's amazing. Not a big kid whatsoever. But tougher than the $2 steak. and is an amazing hockey player. And I know in the section finals when he scored that snapshot from whatever the top of the dot, just a tremendous shot. What kind of a kid is he?
Well, and the humbleness when he got the Herb Brooks Award, that was amazing to see.
Yeah. I got asked about Micah Miller after we beat Duluth East that night, and someone said, well, what can you say about Micah Miller? And the first thing that came out of my mouth was Micah Miller is a better person than he is a hockey player. Mm-hmm. And I mean that with all sincerity. He is as humble as the day is long. And I think it's so fitting that he won that Herb Brooks Award, because I can't think of anybody that plays for the GR logo on the front of his jersey and not for the name. And I know we don't have names on the back of our jerseys, but he plays for GR.
Yeah.
He's our team leader. He is as unselfish, humble as they come. And I've just been blessed to coach them all, but Micah Miller is certainly someone special.
Hmm. We're talking to Trent Klatt, coach of the Grand Rapids Thunderhawks, state AA champions. Haven't done that since 1980. If you'd like to make a call and make a contribution this morning, now's the time to do it, because your blood should be pumping. You got a coach here trying to jack you up. 800-662-5799. You can also pledge online at kaxe.org. Now, off mic, you and I have been talking about this. This is something that's passionate to me, and I've also talked to Don Lucia a few times about it. Talking about the fact that there was an article out where you said the most important sport you should be playing is the one you're in, and that you think that kids should be playing in all sports as possible because you can pick up skills that'll make you better in each respective sport. But I don't think that's a common theme these days, and I think that coaches and specifically coaches and fans and parents, everything's specialized now. My goodness, you're 16, maybe even some cases you're 13, and you need to pick one sport that you can be good at. I think that's just garbage, and I just want to know what you think about that.
Well, it is, and I think coaches are at fault, because what it comes down to is coaches feel as though they have to win.
Yep, all cost.
At all cost. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, coaches, whether they're coaching a 13, 15, 17-year-old kid, it comes down to winning. And two, parents get caught up into it because they're searching for a college scholarship. Mm-hmm. I mean, so those are the two mistakes. Adults are making the mistakes for the kids.
They're living their life through the kid.
Yes, they are. And we're all at fault for it. Mm-hmm. So we're the ones that can actually change that, do something about it. And I just think it's wrong. I mean, I could give you examples of, I mean, even myself, but other kids that play multiple sports. I just think it's beneficial for all of them. I think it's beneficial for them to hear from different coaches. And nobody has been able to answer this question, but I always ask people, you know, you get the hockey player wants to take that one-time shot on the power play and roof it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to corral a 30, 40, 50, 60-mile-an-hour pass, one-time it for a goal. How does hitting a 70 or 80-mile-an-hour fastball help that?
Yeah.
I haven't had anybody be able to answer that question. So
that's a good one. You know, and you also said you had somebody, you don't have to say their name, but you tried to convince maybe one of your players to play a different sport.
Yeah, it's interesting. I am absolutely pro three-sport athlete. So I had last year-end meetings. I told all my kids that I want them to play different sports. I got one kid to go out for football, and believe it or not, he likes football more than hockey now. Mm. He played it for the first time last year. So that's just that's great. And to be honest... there's a difference in his play from last year to this year, and I firmly believe it's because he played football.
Wow.
Because the physical aspect of his game improved dramatically.
Worked on, you know, to take the body and do things like that?
Yeah.
What was it like when you were in high school? Did you have the same mentality, man, that this is the greatest sport and I can't wait till hockey's done and then start playing baseball?
No, I played football, baseball, and hockey. And when hockey season was done, I was crushed. Probably did nothing for one day. And then I put the hockey equipment in the garage and I went and played baseball. And when baseball season was done, I was crushed for a day. And then it was, okay, I got to go play football. And then when football was done, I couldn't wait for hockey. And I just think it gives kids a chance to rest their brains. I played hockey for 12 months a year for 13 years.
Yeah.
As an adult. And it took everything I had mentally and physically to get through that year. I just don't think kids are capable of doing it. I don't think they're mentally mature enough to handle that. The kids are resilient. They're physically fit. That's not an issue. But
right.
I just think their brains And somebody could probably prove me wrong. I mean, I'm not claiming to know, but I just don't think kids are mentally capable of playing a sport year-round. I think there's burnout. I think kids get injured. I just think a lot of things happen for the wrong.
We're talking with Trent Klatt this morning. He's the coach of the Grand Rapids Thunderhawks high school hockey team that won the championship last weekend. Dean Anderson from Hockey House. First of all, he said, congratulations on the state title and thank you for making me look smart. I forgot that he had picked you at the beginning of the season to win state. So thanks to that. He had a question for you. Did your brother-in-law, the former Greenway Raider, congratulate you in winning?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. As a matter of fact, he was sending me text messages all weekend and wishing me luck and congratulating me. So yeah, he was one of the first that responded Saturday night.
That's great.
Okay, let's get back to this. When do you think that this mentality took over? Because here's one of the things I hear about hockey a lot is, and it's with basketball, it's in all of them. We started to get into having traveling teams, and traveling teams cost a lot of money. And I'm imagining in hockey it's a lot of money, but in basketball it is too. And parents, you know, will put their kid in, and they make a traveling team, an A or a B traveling team, and they're on the road every single week, and they're financially invested. And I think that that investment entitles playing time. And where do you think all this specific stuff came about and why when we had to focus on being in one sport?
Well, that's a great question. You go back to my day, I mean, we had traveling hockey, traveling baseball back, you know, in the 80s when I was these kids' age. So I don't know if that necessarily has changed. I just think social media has changed it with the awareness of, you know, professionals, contracts. You know, everybody knows how much somebody makes. That's just public knowledge. And one of the reasons that changed was right about late 80s, early 90s, player salaries in the NHL were not disclosed. Other players didn't know what other players made.
Yeah.
So once that cat's let out of the bag, that just opens up a whole another avenue. So I think that and, you know, I mean, college educations these days are not cheap. So I think, you know, any parent or family trying to, my kid's pretty good, I'd love to get him a college scholarship and not pay college. That puts an onus on the importance, too. So I don't know if I have a really good answer for that.
No, you don't.
Just a couple,
I know.
Just a couple things that may have influenced it over the last 20 or 30 years.
But I think it's important that coaches like you and Don Lucia, who are willing to talk about this stuff instead of hide behind it and think that it's, you know, go along with it is the absolute right thing to do. I think it's critical that you become a role model, and you are a role model for things like this.
Can I give you a little story right
now?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So a guy by the name of Anders Lee, I don't know if you know him. He was a multi-sport athlete at Edina High School. He graduated in 2009. He was draft eligible in 2008 for the first time after his junior year of high school. He now plays on the first line with the New York Islanders in the NHL. We drafted him. In 2008, after his junior year, the first year he was eligible for the draft, the New York Islanders called him from the draft floor. This was before I got involved. And wanted to know if he was going to play football as a senior. And his response is, yeah, I'm playing football. And the Islanders didn't draft him.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah. And 29 other teams didn't draft him either. Now, I don't know if that phone call was made from the other teams to him, but I know for a fact the Islanders did that. Well, the next year, in 2009, we drafted Anders Lee after his senior year. So here's a kid that was asked the question, are you going to play football? So he played football, he played hockey, and he played baseball. He didn't go to the USHL. He stayed in high school to play all those three sports.
Wow.
And this is relatively new.
That's a character thing,
yes,
too. That's a
absolutely
great character of
when
him.
I heard that story, I said, as soon as that kid said, I'm playing football, I would have drafted him just for that reason.
Yeah.
Myself. Now, he's, I don't know how many millions of dollars he's making. He's on the first line on an NHL team. And, you know, he stayed in high school, didn't succumb to any of the pressures whatsoever. And look where he's at. And that's a relatively new, I mean, he's 26 years old. He's right in the middle of it.
Now, as a scout yourself, was the reason because he was risking injury, or was it the reason that he's not playing enough hockey because he's playing football, or is it both?
I don't know that answer because I wasn't a scout at that time.
But
I
what does your story. Gut say?
My gut is the injury.
Yeah. Wow.
My gut would be the injury.
Well, I do. It is our membership drive. I do have to interrupt this important message. You did get a practice gong, so now we need you to do one more, Trent.
Okay. All right. One more gong.
Yep. Yep. Right. Here we go.
See, that's the competitiveness in him. I kind of got on him a little bit.
Judy and Richard Gruey from Big Fork upping their sustaining membership. We thank them so much. Judy's going to be your host for On the River coming up at 9 o'clock. Call us at 800-662-5799. You talked about, we're kind of talking about stress levels. There's so many things going on for high school hockey tournaments. I was watching social media. How do you calm kids down during that last week? I mean, that's got to be really stressful for them. Yeah. And exciting, but you also maybe don't want to be overly excited either.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, they're all jacked up and ready to go. I think we had a couple advantages. One, we played in the tournament last year, so our first period against Maple Grove on Thursday night wasn't the best. I think we're a little nervous, but yeah. I think overall in general, having been there recently allowed us to kind of just relax and know what we're going through. But the second thing is I took the kids' phones away the whole time we were down there.
Nice. How did that fly?
Yeah.
It didn't go over very well when we hit Forest Lake on a bus on the way down.
Oh, you dropped it on them then?
Oh, yeah.
Were the parents?
I told the parents at the parent meeting before we went down that I was contemplating doing it. And to be honest with you, I was getting a positive response from the parents.
That's amazing.
I took the phones away from them Tuesday night about 10 o'clock and they didn't get it. You should have seen, because after we won, I had a little black box with the phones and I put it in the locker room and the kids didn't know what it was. And congratulating them, they did their song and their dance. And I said, "Hey guys, your phones were over there in the box," and it was like a herd of cattle. Just whoa!
Never seen them move that fast.
Oh my god!
Hey, let's go back to the most important role models in any athlete's life is parents. What were your parents like? Many parents, I'm recruiting all the time. I see parents up in the crowd screaming at their kids, "Shoot the ball! What are you doing?" Blah blah blah. And I just would like to know what your parents were like. When you came home, maybe you didn't have such a good game, Dad say, you know, maybe you should have, you know, done this, should have done that. What was it like?
Well, my mom never missed a practice, never missed a game for anything. My mom was always there. My dad always coached me, so he was right in the middle of it. And, you know, it was a situation where we were always talking about the game, whatever it was. And, you know, a lot of times he'd use me as an example. So I kind of felt like I was getting beat on all the time because, sure. You know, in the locker room he'd be using, you know, trying to make a point and he'd be blaming me for whatever the mistake was. And it's like, Dad, it wasn't me. It was that guy. So my parents were very supportive. I mean, I'm so thankful that they were there to, you know, buy all my equipment and drive me to every single place we went and just giving me the opportunities to do what a kid wanted to do.
What kind of a parent are you?
I just let my kids be. I told my wife, she coaches high school softball, and I told her, I said, when we get into, as our kids started growing up, we got into youth sports, I said, the only way we're going to get through this is to accept the fact that none of our kids are going to go anywhere. They're not. They're not going to go anywhere. We're just going to go out there and have fun and bring as many of the kids along with us as we possibly can.
Nice.
And I think that's what's helped us be decent coaches in this community, and that expectation, it's not even there from us. I don't push my kids. I don't do any of that. If they don't have the passion, they don't have to do it. They can play something else.
They must have been pretty excited for Grand Rapids team and their dad last weekend.
Yeah, Marky, they all were, of course, but Marky, my third daughter, ever since she was about 3 years old, when we were playing in Vancouver, she knew everybody's name, everybody's number. I mean, she's been a hockey fan her whole life. I'm not sure there was anyone more excited than her in this whole town last week.
Well, I want to tell you the influence you've had or the role model you have. I saw on Facebook that a young boy woke up in the morning and wanted to have his hair like Trent Klatt. That's a lot of pressure, Trent.
I saw that.
That's a lot
and
of pressure.
All I could do is just scratch my head and go, why?
Yeah. And Heidi, you have some observations about Trent Clack early in his career.
Well, I did a little research. I saw your high school photo. It was
the mullet?
Yeah.
The mullet,
it was very nice.
Look, maybe like you cut it with a weed whacker a little bit.
Well, yeah, it has to come out the helmet, you know? My hair is so straight, it was awful.
That is great. Doesn't he have something else to do? He needs a gong again. Handed that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to hit another one.
Yeah. Huh? Here we go.
Here we go.
Backhand right on the tape. No, actually, he let it off the boards. Melanie Quillen is renewing her membership in Northern Community Radio. And thank you very much. It's all we can say. It's really important that people pledge, put their money where their ear is. Trent, thanks for joining us this morning. Having some good conversations. Continue to be a great role model for kids playing all different sports and not putting pressure on kids, letting them do what they want. If they want to be in the band, if they want to be in acting, they don't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Yeah. 800-662-5799. If you appreciate conversations like this, we need your support now. Go to kexe.org. You're playing this for a little
Trent's got to listen to this one. He hasn't heard this one.
What's it called?
Hit Somebody.